Please be seated. Grace and peace to you by God, from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy and ever-living God, send your Spirit upon us so that we may walk wet in the waters of our baptism. In Jesus' name, amen. Had a lot of jobs from the time I was in high school and through the beginning of college. Started out, I was a yogurt vendor, like working at a place called Perkins. It's like TCBY. And then I got a job working in a clothing store selling retail because, you know, everybody wants me to be their personal stylist. And then I was a camp counselor. And while I was there, I met this beautiful young girl. The only problem was she was at a college 2.5 hours from mine. And if I wanted to continue to date her, I was going to need to get another job so I had enough money to pay for the astronomical phone bill that we racked up. And so I went looking. The only thing was there had to be certain criteria. See, I probably could have gotten my job back at the clothing store, but the problem was they wanted me to work weekends. And the only time I could see this girl was during the week. And I really wanted to keep dating her, and I'm kind of glad that I did since, you know, she's sitting there with one of my daughters. But I got a job, finally, at Setzer's Greenhouse in Claremont, North Carolina. Now, folks, I don't know if you know much about me, but I was not raised on a farm. But I could do whatever I needed to, and so I would wake up at about 6 o'clock, which is tough for a college kid, and 3, 4, 5 days a week, I would drive to Claremont, which is about 20 minutes away from Lenoran, and go and do whatever they told me to, which usually meant going throughout the acres and acres of potted plants and weed them. Now, for some reason, I think all they sold was holly bushes because that's what I weeded most of the time. And so my hands looked awful. I mean, they were stained black, they were cut up, blisters and calluses, and it was awful. I hated that job. It was really hot at the end of summer, and it was really cold in the middle of fall. But one day, I was told by my boss to go down to the lower part of the property and bring up some of the pallets of plants, which was about 100 plants, up to the greenhouse because it was starting to get cold. And in the foothills of North Carolina, fall can be in the 30s most mornings. And so I was bringing them up one by one because, see, here's the problem. He said, but don't take the truck down there. So 4 plants, 2 in either hand, going up the hill, because, you know, the foothills ain't exactly flat. Uphill, seemed like it was going uphill both ways, but I'm pretty sure it was uphill when I was carrying the plants, and just kept going, because there were like hundreds of them. And I was thinking along the way, you know, I guess somebody's using the truck this morning. And so, you know, because this is silly, I could do this all in like 20 minutes. Well, then I saw that no one was using the truck. So I went and got in it, because on a farm, you know, at least on this farm, they don't exactly, you know, take the keys with them. There were always keys in the ignition of the truck, if it still took keys. Sometimes it just used a screwdriver to get it started. But anyway, know any of those? Yeah. And so I took the truck on down there and loaded all the plants up in the back of it, and I was ready to head up and finish my morning job and go on to the next one. When I finally realized why he told me not to take the truck down there. It had rained. And the problem is, when you're on the lower part of the property, water likes to settle. And so I hit the gas, and I didn't go anywhere. The tires did. Round and round and round and round, deeper and deeper and deeper into the mud. And the more I tried, the worse it got. And I was frustrated and embarrassed and scared, and it was plain awful. And finally, I had to, you know, continue to keep taking the things up there by hand. And when I finished, I told him, I said, yeah, the truck is stuck there at the bottom. And he was a really nice boss. He was wonderful and told me I would no longer be needed there. But now, To be fair, he said it was because, you know, the season was changing and they didn't need as much help. But I can't help but thinking all these years later that it might have had something to do with the fact he told me not to take the truck down there and they were going to have to dig it out. But there's nothing worse than being stuck, you know? And if you've ever driven off-road or been in snow or ice or, you know, on a farm, you've been stuck, right? Is there anybody who's never gotten stuck? I mean, sometimes you can be on the road and all of a sudden you sort of drift into a ditch. And then you're stuck, right? Or you back out the wrong way. And it is. It is frustrating and scary and embarrassing because you ain't going anywhere. You're just spinning your tires deeper and deeper. And you get more and more stuck. But you know, it's one thing to get stuck in an automobile. It's another thing to get stuck in life, right? And we've all been there too, haven't we? When we know we want to be somewhere other than where we are, but we just can't seem to figure out how to move forward. Maybe we're stuck in a job. Maybe we're stuck in a relationship. Maybe we're just stuck in the place where we are. And we want things to be different, but we may not know what it is exactly that we want, or we may be afraid of what happens if we do something different than what we're currently doing. And so we just spin our tires, spin our tires, spin our tires, and just dig ourselves deeper and deeper, getting more and more stuck. It's not just individuals, though, is it? I mean, society has found many and various ways to get itself stuck over the years, stuck in hatred, stuck in division, stuck in war, stuck in all kinds of things that maybe if people just took a step back, but instead it's just digging more and more and more. Churches throughout the centuries have been known for getting stuck because we like to get stuck in this, we've never done it that way before. It's always been done like this, and so here we are, trying to do the same things over and over again, expecting different results. But honestly, right now at Pisgah, we feel a little bit stuck, don't we? Last week, we had a wonderful celebration for a wonderful person. Deacon Deborah retired after 18 years here at Pisgah. This is the first Sunday in 18 years that she has not been called to this place. And I got to tell you, I feel a little stuck. Because even though the world is moving forward and, you know, the days are moving forward, still feel kind of sad about what it was. And you know, even though we know that we can't stay here, it's still, what's next? Where are we going? Why can't it be the way it was? Deeper and deeper, you know? But here's the thing. I'm very happy that today's gospel reading is what it is, because this story, in the words of this story, we find out how to get unstuck. But the ironic part in that is that this very story has gotten the church into quite a few ditches throughout the centuries. Because you see, it's about the baptism of Jesus. And it begins with verse 4, talking about John's baptism for the forgiveness of sins and repentance. Well, one thing that we believe about Jesus is that Jesus is God, and God is sinless, right? So tell me, my friends, why is it that Jesus Christ needed to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins that he never had? Countless theologians have debated this and debated this and debated this. Still goes on today. But back in the 4th century, there was this guy named Arius. And Arius really got stuck on this verse 4. So much so that he decided that, you know what, a sinless God would not need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Which means that Jesus wasn't God. It was at the baptism that Jesus was adopted by God and chosen by God, but he himself was not God. Well, other folks in the church were not really thrilled with how stuck Arius was making them, and so they met at this council called the Council of Nicaea. Does that kind of ring a bell a little bit? It should, because a lot of Sundays we say what's called the Nicene Creed. And in that Nicene Creed, we say we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. No, that's the Apostles' Creed. We believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. That whole section is all about Arius. Because what it's saying is, you know what? You're wrong. Jesus is God. And so it took that to get unstuck. It took people working together to get unstuck. But it still goes back to baptism. Because the thing is, all these years, they were focused on the wrong verse. The first verse, talking about why was Jesus, who's sinless, needed to get baptized by John for the repentance of sins. None of that really matters, folks. It's the last verse that's most important here. The last verse that will get us unstuck today, tomorrow, and forever. Because in this, what we hear is what happened as Jesus is coming up from the water. He sees the heavens torn open and a dove coming down from him the Holy Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And he hears a voice. You are my Son, the Beloved. In you I am well pleased. In that moment, Jesus knows his identity. And you see, my friends, that is the same thing that happens to us at our baptism. Whether we were right, whether we were a newborn or 100 years old, when we come to these waters, our sins are washed away. We become a body of Christ. We have the promise of everlasting life. But also in that moment, it's as if God says to us, you are my child. I love you. In you, I am well pleased. You hear that? In you, I am well pleased. Do you know why we get stuck most of the time? It's a mindset. We get our minds stuck on something that I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't belong here. I can't do it. This is impossible. I don't like it that way. Over and over and over again, the problem is we forget who we are. We look more at what divides us than what unites us. We look at more things that we can't do instead of what we can do. And the reality is, you are a child of God. In you, God is well pleased. That's who you are. And through these waters, that's what we find out. We don't need to be stuck. We need to remember our baptism. And you see, that's step one in the step-by-step guide to getting unstuck. Remember your baptism. Which, by the way, it's also step 2, 3, 4, and 5, too. Remember your baptism. In these waters, you are named and claimed by the Almighty. In these waters, you are given your identity. In these waters, you are set free to be who God is calling you to be. You see, that's the same waters that are setting this congregation free right now. We don't know what's coming. We don't know who's being called here, but we know that because of these waters, that someone is being called to us right now. We don't know who, we don't know what, we don't know where they're coming from, but we do know that someone is called here. And in the meantime, we also know that people here in this place are being called to serve. That we are called to share our gifts, to show God's love, to step out in faith and be the people that God has created and called us to be. Why? Because you are a child of God, and in you, God is well pleased. That's who you are. So remember your baptism. And you gotta talk about it. Some people actually have post-it notes that they put on their bathroom mirror. Says, every time you wash your face, it just says, remember your baptism. Some churches actually have it where you can come in, there's holy water in the back, but in the Lutheran church, it's not holy, it's just tap water, but it still does the same thing. Remember your baptism. And you'll notice that some folks here, including myself, will cross themselves during the service. In the bulletin, you'll notice there's little crosses. The reason that we do that is because when we do that, we are remembering our baptism. We are reminding ourselves that we are beloved children of God, and God is pleased with who we are. And we need to remind ourselves that. Because sometimes in life we get stuck. Sometimes we think we're not good enough. Sometimes we think that we can't make it. Sometimes we think that we're just spinning our wheels. But we're not. Because we are beloved children of God. He loves you. And in you, God is well pleased. Now remember who and whose you are. And go out and do it. Amen.